The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
With the EU firmly shutting down any hopes of a renegotiation and Stormont parties divided, is the Northern Ireland Protocol here to stay in its current form? We'll get to various views, but first to get the view from London, we're joined by the political editor with the Financial Times, George Parker. George, good morning.
Morning.
We're all a bit amazed by the way this has unfolded, because Boris Johnson and David Frost negotiated this and they embraced it, they sold it to everybody, and now they want to disavow it.
Yeah, who'd have thought that, just 7 months after it started, that it's turned out that it's putting pressure on the what they call the fabric of the union, of the United Kingdom between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK, that it would inflame tensions on the unionist side, that it would cause trade disruption. Look, I mean, everybody said that was going to happen, and the question is whether Boris Johnson and David Frost negotiated that treaty in good faith or not. And of course, if you're sitting in Brussels or Dublin, you think that Boris Johnson negotiated that treaty in the full knowledge that he would then try and rat on it a bit further down the line, which is exactly what, you know, frankly, he's trying to do now.
Now, what he is also trying to do is blame the EU for this. How is that going down? Obviously, with what they used to call for Trump, his base, it's probably going down fine. Thank you very much.
Yes, the extent that that people are still sort of obsessing about Brexit, and there are quite a few people in the UK, of course, who still do, particularly in the Conservative Party, this goes down well because it's sort of, you know, him standing up for the union, standing up against Brussels. But frankly, from the point of view of statecraft as a British Prime Minister, it's not great, because not only does it contaminate relations with the EU, but also has a spillover effect in our relations with the United States as well. And given the fact that relations with China aren't great either, you know, getting in a post-Brexit position for global Britain, if you're at odds with America, the EU and China, it's not a great look.
Now, when Britain signs an international deal, be it a trade deal or any other kind of protocol, in the past one expects Britain to stick with what it's agreed. How damaging has it been for Boris Johnson's government and for the UK generally that this is the reputation that is now going abroad, that really you can't trust them?
Well, it's not great, and he's been strongly criticised by former British Prime Ministers who make the point that Britain's a global trading power with lots of international interests, you know, built up over centuries, of course, which relies on other people abiding by the rule of international law. And there's another irony, of course, in all this, that Britain's the host this year of the G7 and also the COP26 UN climate change conference, where again we're expecting countries to make commitments which they then honour. So it's not fantastic. And look, I mean, I should say this, that there are quite a few people in the UK, including people like me, who are sort of pro-European and oppose Brexit, who think actually the EU does need to show more flexibility in the way this protocol is being operated, and how much of a threat
that's what's on offer. And we'll be talking to Neil Richmond from Dublin, and we'll be talking to Doug Beattie in a moment as well about what is required. But the EU said the protocol's going nowhere, it's been negotiated. You know, within the protocol, perhaps there are, you know, things we can do, but that's really all that's on offer. There will be no renegotiation of the Northern Ireland Protocol.
Yeah, and there's some things that the UK is asking for which plainly go well beyond anything that Brussels will ever accept, including trying to rewrite the governance of the agreement where the European Court of Justice in Luxembourg basically enforces the deal. I mean, that's absolutely essential to the EU. That's never going to happen. And one can only imagine that the UK put that into its negotiating paper this week as a negotiating chip to be discarded further down the track and hope they get more modest concessions from the EU side. But I mean, some of the requests being made by the Brits will be thrown out.
Before I know you're pressed for time, George, before I go, I just have to ask you about Dominic Cummings and his less than enthusiastic verdict on Brexit. He said it was quite understandable that a lot of people would think that it has not gone well, although he is still an enthusiastic proponent of Brexit. I found that very interesting.
Yes, I mean, he was saying you'd have to be a bit thick to be absolutely certain that the country had made the right decision, although he said he thought the country had made the right decision. I mean, Dominic Cummings, that interview, if you had a chance to watch it with the BBC, was a sort of glimpse into the world of a narcissist, really. I mean, he wanted to take back control, but as you watch that interview, what he wanted to do was take back control for himself that he would run the UK via the Prime Minister who he thought he could manipulate. And it was an extremely revealing interview, I thought. But yes, I mean, it's unusual to see that sort of scintilla of doubt in his own mind about whether it was the right thing, even though he said that he thought it was.
George Parker, political editor with the Financial Times, thank you very much for joining us. Doug Beattie, Ulster Unionist Party leader and MLA for Upper Bann, joins us, as does Neil Richmond, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Rathdown and spokesperson on European Affairs. Good morning and welcome to you both. Let's go to you first, Doug. It looks like the protocol is here to stay, at least in the medium term. Who knows what happens long term? So what do you think can be done to ease the very definite problems?
Well, I think a bit of common sense wouldn't go amiss here as the UK government and the EU take chunks out of themselves and we all start to divide and dig ourselves into trenches that we're refusing to climb out of. If we just use a bit of common sense, and that bit of common sense would tell you that goods coming from GB to Northern Ireland that are not going to leave Northern Ireland, stay within the UK market, do not need to be checked. Why would they need to be checked if they're not leaving the United Kingdom? And that just makes absolute sense. And I can't understand why anybody thinks that goods coming from GB to Northern Ireland that are staying there do need to be checked. It just doesn't make sense. So a bit of common sense wouldn't go amiss from a lot of people. A little bit of less rhetoric wouldn't go amiss from a lot of people. And the argument that we won't renegotiate the protocol when virtually daily we are renegotiating the protocol in some shape or form, it just doesn't work. And neither does it work when people spin the line, and they do continuously, that the protocol is protecting the Belfast Good Friday Agreement when it's actually doing the absolute opposite and damaging the Belfast Good Friday Agreement.
But there are international players also involved in this. I mean, Joe Biden has made it quite clear, don't mess around, or, you know, your prospects of a trade deal with the US at least will have to wait till he's out of office.
Well, that's great. That's super for all of these people, whether the UK government or the EU or whether it's the United States. But listen, I represent people here in Northern Ireland. And there's people here in Northern Ireland who are suffering as all of these people go for their tug of war and their tussle and they stand up and take chunks out of each other. It is the West Belfast mother who goes out shopping, who's one of the lowest paid maybe, whose prices are going up. It's our airports who are less competitive as Dublin Airport becomes more competitive. You know, so we see this on a day-to-day basis and the problems that we are having. And it will come to light when the first jobs are lost due to a protocol, which could be easily fixed with a bit of common sense. And we're just not using common sense. And I think we do need to use common sense. And when I spoke to the Taoiseach yesterday, I talked about that common sense approach to the protocol.
The common sense approach to the protocol is to make it workable. Isn't that the whole idea, that the mechanisms, as you say, if stuff is coming in as never going to leave Northern Ireland, that's fine. In theory, of course, that is the back door to the single market. And that's why they brought all of these controls in the first place. On a practical basis, Doug, every day, what is it that's happening? How would the normal shopper, the normal customer, know that something was very different since this protocol was implemented?
Well, it depends where they go shopping, and it will depend on when we come out of both COVID and the grace periods end. But if you look at some of the main supermarkets where most people who are less paid shop, the likes of Asda, the likes of Sainsbury's, which are, I've got to say, UK-only supermarkets, they don't go into the EU, then if you take away their own brand goods, such as their chilled meats, own brand goods, then you suddenly realise that the prices will go up, and that will affect the people on the street who go and do their shopping on a weekly basis. If you look at some of the people who are part of the supply chain of goods throughout the United Kingdom, if those goods can't get to Northern Ireland for processing, for example, for onward movement within the United Kingdom, then you will have job losses. If you look at Belfast Airport, who are now not allowed to do duty free to anywhere in Europe or European Union or anywhere or to London, where Dublin is quite clear they can do duty free to London, as can the rest of the European Union, then Northern Ireland is at a distinct disadvantage in something like that. And people think that's trivial, but it's really important.
But the problem is Brexit, though, isn't it? And the bulk of the people in Northern Ireland were opposed to Brexit. They wanted to stay within the single market. So they were opposed to the hardest Brexit anyway. But there was also a majority opposed to Brexit one way or the other. Is nobody in Northern Ireland who fought tooth and nail against Brexit putting up their hands to say, well, we were wrong?
Well, listen, I don't know, but we were quite clear that as a party we were against Brexit. We didn't think it would be good. We thought it would be destabilising. It is destabilising. And we made that argument. In fact, our party leader at the time, Mike Nesbitt, made it clear that if we went ahead with Brexit, that we could end up with exactly what we've got now. And when we get to 2019, we put proposals to make sure that there was no protocol and there was no borders north, south or east, west. And they were pretty much ignored. Funnily enough, those proposals we made in 2019 are now appearing in the UK government's command paper. So people weren't listening back then. And if they want to argue now, they can argue now. But there is a reality to this, Pat, and it's beyond me and everybody else. And that is, I'm a Democrat, and a democratic vote was taken, and a democratic decision was made, and that's where we are. So we can easily blame Brexit if we so wish. But the reality is, that's what the people wanted, and that's what the people got.
Mm. All right, Doug, thank you very much for joining us. Doug Beattie, Ulster Unionist Party leader, MLA for Upper Ban. Neil Richmond, the spokesperson on European Affairs, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Rathdown. Neil, this is a mess. The EU, though, is holding firm. And if any change is to come about, it's going to be technical change, no more than that.
Yeah, any changes or indeed modifications come within the terms of the protocol. But the most obvious thing that could be done is the agreement of an EU-UK-wide veterinary agreement. That would remove the need for checks overnight for 85% of goods, Pat. That is something that can be done. But whilst Doug is understandably...
But just to explain, Neil, isn't that what they call, you know, a dynamic convergence of the two regimes, the veterinary regimes? In other words, if there's a reason for the EU to do something, possibly because of a disease outbreak, that the UK would adopt a similar measure so that there would always be no problem, no issue between the regimes.
Well, there's various forms it could take, but I suppose the easiest example is the agreement that's in existence between the EU and Switzerland, which would provide for that. But this is something that could be done, is on offer from the EU throughout. But ultimately, what the problem is that this British government has chosen the hardest possible Brexit. And yes, it has massive impacts in Northern Ireland. But one thing that isn't talked about is the opportunities of protocol. The fact that Dawn Foods have launched a new jobs initiative with a Danish company because they still have access to the single market. The fact that Marks and Spencer's have created a huge amount of new jobs in Coleraine. The fact that Belfast is one of the fastest growing financial services sectors across the continent because of that dual access, both to the single market and indeed the UK market. And what we need to see at this situation is, of course, Doug is right, we do need common sense. But the problem is, for the past 7 months, we have a British government, as you said, that negotiated and ratified this agreement, who has done their utmost to undermine it, rather than actually meet the very basic requires of implementation, such as giving access to inspections and ICT. And there wouldn't be the need for that onerous inspections that I have. And bear in mind, the EU has been extremely flexible so far. They've allowed extensions of grace period despite unilateral actions of the British government. And indeed, they've allowed for derogations on quite a number of medicines, including cancer drugs.
Are you disappointed but not surprised that Boris Johnson and David Frost are not touting all the benefits that have been bestowed in Northern Ireland because of this protocol? They're only hitting on the negatives. It suits them, I suppose, from a negotiating point of view, but it's also very disingenuous.
It's ultimately disingenuous and it's very political because you rightly said to George, this plays to a very particular base in the UK, but it's a risky tap. They may win them by-elections on Hartlepool, but we've seen the Tories lose by-elections in the south of England. And to play politics with the situation in Northern Ireland is really irresponsible. Whilst what this government, the Irish government, with our European partners want to do is to take the international agreement that was ratified literally months ago and make it work. The only way the protocol can be stopped if Doug and his colleagues in the Assembly decide to have a vote on it in 3 years' time. Otherwise, it's here. Let's make it work. It can work. It's not the problem. Brexit is. It's the solution.
All right, Neil, thank you. Just one comment, an interesting one from someone in the haulage business. There are 100 ways to move goods of GB origin that land into Northern Ireland onwards to the EU. They can be signed and received for in Northern Ireland, but where you've no further checks, they'll be down the road into the Irish market or into the EU via Rosslare. Trust me, it is happening now. I work in road haulage and would like to remain anonymous. Anyway, Neil, thank you very much. Neil Richmond, Fine Gael TD for Dublin Rathdown, a spokesperson for European Affairs.